Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 339. I'm your host, Lewis Pugh, and joining me tonight, we have Harrison Milfeld.
Hey, everybody. Happy New Year.
And Colin Crompton.
Hello, hello.
And on tonight's show, we have two main features for you. We're going to start off with a brief what we've been playing, and then we're going to move on to our main feature, the games of 2014. This is going to be a two-part deal. We're going to start this week and conclude next week in deciding the best games of 2014. So to kickstart the show and what we've been playing, we've gone through Christmas and the New Year. So hopefully we may have some Christmas presents we can talk about in on the game side. Harrison, would you like to start off?
Yeah. Well, I did want to say right now, start off, I did beat Captain Toad finally about a couple days ago. And
awesome.
Obviously, some people were saying, like, well, you bought this game about a couple weeks ago. Why did it take you so long? It's like, reason being is Captain Toad is like one of those games where you like to play in little spurts for some reason. I mean, it's a game that you could easily finish in about maybe 3 hours, possibly. But I was mentioning, like, I'm previous podcast I was on, is that one of those few games that were, when you're going through each stage, you really want 100% everything right away. And but I finished that, and just because I wanted to move on to my Christmas presents that I've got, one was from my roommate, and which was Hyrule Warriors.
Ooh.
And I'm going to start up and say that around this time last year, we'd already barely knew what this game was because of when it was just announced at a direct about a little over a year ago. And my point being is that I always just kept saying that I don't see how Dynasty Warriors and the Zelda universe mix, aside from just borrowing that franchise, considering how the Zelda universe was not really known for just combat.
Yeah.
Luckily, though, from what I've gotten about maybe 12 scenarios in at this moment, and I mean, it's a nice distraction. That's really all I have to say, but it's just, like, what I can say. I mean, it really does shine when you're having two players, just because when you're playing with one, it does get a little tad repetitive, and it just seems a little bit easy once you're going to the bazaar and just upgrading all your abilities, you know, because it just seems like this game is just littered with rupees everywhere. It just doesn't matter. Just go around, smash pots, and cut down grass. I did, though, enjoy, because, I mean, and this made me think, like, okay, maybe this is part of the timeline, the Zelda timeline, because in the game, it just mentions how it opens about early on, how the sorceress in the beginning opens up, you know, portals to different eras in Hyrule. So,
yeah.
And at that point, I was turning to my roommate as, like, I guess it is canon.
Yeah, it tries to slot itself in, but not sort of fully, you know, dedicate itself to that.
Yeah, this is like, in terms of that, it's like a square peg going into a round hole as far as trying to be in the continuity. It's just like, it doesn't seem to work, but I can applaud them and Tecmo Koei and Nintendo for trying on this, so I really don't, I mean, again, I 12 scenarios in, and usually when I go through it, I just play with the recommended characters, like one for, like, deal with Light, use with Link, one use Lena, who surprisingly is actually fun to play as, but actually my favorite character I actually like using is Impa. But I barely touched upon it, whatever, but I mean, and of course I'm trying to finish this up because one of the other games I got for Christmas, of course, was Bayonetta 2, and I'm going to have to start with the first one before I get to the second one on that. So, but my last thing on Hyrule Warriors, though, is I haven't tried Adventure Mode or anything like that. It's Legend Mode. Legend Mode is the only one that I've tried. I haven't tried Adventure Mode where you can, the map is kind of like the Legend of Zelda sprites from the old NES. Yeah. And the thing is, I just looked through it, whatever. It's just like, yeah, it's it's Dynasty War. If you enjoy Dynasty Wars, yeah, it's your cup of tea. It just, but you know, this is essentially fan service to me. I mean, that's what I really am getting out of it right now. But let's just say what I've seen played through it, it wasn't a disaster as big as a disaster. Well, it wasn't a disaster as I thought it was going to be. And what in the end, as is, if this keeps going on, probably near the end, even if I have play with a friend, I'll probably just label it as like a nice little experiment or a nice little crossover that Nintendo tried, you know, just to branch out.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, I played through the whole of the... I keep forgetting the names of the modes, but, you know, the main story mode, essentially.
Yeah, legend mode, yeah.
Yeah. But the adventure mode, I played through a little bit. It sounded like a really good idea initially, but I never really got that involved in it. I might try jumping back into it at a later date, but I tried a couple of missions and it just kind of lost my interest. But I liked what it was doing with the story, because it kind of feels a bit like Zelda, like more so than I thought it would, in terms of like what actually happens in the story. But it's cool how it's kind of its own thing as well. But yeah, I mean, I think it was a good mashup. I did like my time romping through that game.
It's a type of thing, whatever, like we talked in the past, is that you really hope Nintendo does more of these types of collaborations, puts their franchises in these different worlds or the different type of gameplay mechanics of different, you know, companies, and just tries to work around with it, whatever. I mean, that alone I applaud. It's just what I'm getting out of Hyrule Warriors is that it's like, you know, it's more of a, eh, you know, I mean, I still haven't finished it, but obviously what I'm enjoying my time. To me, this is the lowest form I can probably give to anything as far as something that I don't hate, but I don't necessarily love. It's like, it's a nice distraction.
Yeah, and have you, or did you play on the previous like Dynasty Warrior games?
I think I remember renting one a long time ago when I had a PS2, and that was it. I mean, because I think it was around the time when Wind Waker came out, like it was Dynasty Warriors 4 or something like that.
Okay. Because I hadn't touched any of the series, and so I kind of painted a picture of it in my mind from, you know, just comments on internet forums and so on, and what you would hear about the series in general. It's not the most favoritable of games, is it, on the internet?
Not particularly.
And so I wasn't really expecting great things from it. The opposite, really. I was expecting some nice window dressing. But I was pleasantly surprised in terms of there is actual strategy to be found there. It's not purely button mashing, as is what I heard.
Like, no, it's not completely mindless, but it has a degree of mindlessness about it.
Yeah, as far as attacking enemy, it's just like if you're expecting, oh, this is a strategy type of game, no, this is not strategy at all. If you see something that's like under attack, maybe your main base, yeah, you want to go down there and help out. But other than that, it's just more progressing through a small little map and getting to a boss. That's it. I mean, it's just the only thing that you really want to do as far as strategy is like when you see outposts with enemies, you just knock those down, capture that. That way no one enemies spawn, yada, yada, yada. I'm doing my best not to button mash, but again, as far as approaching enemies, yeah, it is mindless.
And definitely the combat itself, but because of my pure lack of experience with this series, I was quite taken by, you know, there are these different things you do need to be aware of. That was cool. And I do like the different scenarios which happen in the story mode itself. It's not just like the same like template of mission repeated. They do mix it up here and there, which is pretty cool. And I do like how they mix in some of the actual story events which happened in previous actual Zelda games.
It's completely replete with, you know, fan service.
Exactly, yeah. And I like how they try to like retell certain scenes from the Zelda universe through like the lens of Dynasty Warrior action.
Yeah, like the revelation of who Sheik is. I mean,
oh well, yeah.
Yeah, I know. At that point, I was just groaning. Like, I was like, "Who is this?" I'm like, "Oh, I know who it is. I wonder who it is exactly, guys. Who do you think?" I was nudging my roommates, like, "Who do you think it is, huh?"
Yeah,
that's cool. But yeah, I didn't get the comment earlier, but I've still yet to pick up Captain Toad. Eagerly awaiting.
That just recently came out in the UK for you.
That's
guys, didn't
true,
it?
Isn't it? I mean, that was a weird tale because technically it came out 2 days ago. Although they stores were selling it with permission late last year. Apparently, stores got stock before Christmas, and at some point after that, some stores were just selling it anyway. Apparently, Nintendo just gave their approval for them to sell it.
It's such a weird game to have break the streak date.
Exactly. But, I mean, it was like Nintendo was promoting it at some point, saying that, you know, you can pick it up in stores now. But they didn't release it onto the eShop until what was the proper release date, which was the 2nd.
So, I don't know.
I do want to add, though, before I move on to basically the rest of you guys, since obviously I'm not keeping this brief, is I did download, like, 4 titles on New Year's Eve because for anybody, I believe this is only for North America only, but January 1st was the end of the digital deluxe promotion, whatever, for the deluxe version of Owners of the Wii U, and I just realized that was the last date, and I just went crazy with it for like the last, like before I went out, I was like, okay, Duck Hunt, Shovel Knight, Mario Kart DLC, and what was else did it? Oh yeah, Legend of Zelda Minish Cap, and then I was like, all right, done. But I'll talk about those all later because I barely have touched them.
No, definitely. No, it is good to see that you managed to sneak some extra points in before closing date. I hope some sort of return of that service comes around.
Yeah.
We hear about something. It seems an odd thing to be so limited.
Yeah, it's a really nice incentive. Yeah, you know? Like, do I get the digital version? If I get the digital version, I get some points, you know.
Yeah.
It helps that make that decision.
No, definitely. So, Colin, what have you been up to since we've last spoke on the podcast?
What have I been up to? I'm considering booking myself in for psychiatric therapy.
Oh, really? What game could this be?
Well, you see, I've got a terrible addiction. This addiction is...
You can talk to us, Colin. We're listening.
It's not quite anonymous, but you definitely can talk, couldn't it?
Well, I've been playing Monster Hunter. You know, it has me in its vice-like grip.
The game which keeps on giving.
It is. I mean, I just broke past the 600-hour mark, and it... yeah. that's a lot of days. There's not much I can say about the game, really. Well, it's just what keeps me attracted to this series is it's just the community around it. That's the main reason I still play the game, is because you go online, you meet these people, and they're as fanatic about the series as you are. And, you know, and of course, you're fighting like the greatest boss battles, in my opinion, in a game. It's fantastic. And I'm slightly worried for my mentality at the moment.
I was going to say, because Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, it's only just around the corner at this point.
Oh, yeah. yes. I'm going
to
relapse.
So, I mean, it may technically be an antidote to your Monster Hunter 3 addiction, but I don't think it's actually going to help.
No, I don't think so. But
In a longer-term sense.
Yeah, I mean, that is actually one of the games that I technically got for Christmas because my brother pre-ordered it for me.
Oh, brilliant.
So I'll let you guys know what it's like.
Yeah, well,
and my terrible tales.
I'll also be joining you picking
the side of your addiction, basically. You're going to tell us everything. It's like, I'll tell you everything you need to know.
That's right.
You need to avoid.
All the details. It's just Monster Hunter for me.
That's fair enough. On myself, I mean, I didn't technically receive any games for Christmas, but as I have been detailing over previous episodes running up to the holidays, I had been asking for amiibos, and amiibos I did receive. I haven't bought a single amiibo yet, but in my possession, I now have 8.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. Yep.
Please list them.
I shall, because they are right next to me. We have Samus and Link and Pit and Peach and the Villager, Kirby, Mario and Luigi.
No Marth?
No Marth, no Wii Fit Trainer, but we do have a Villager.
Very nice.
Are these in the packaging, though?
No, they were ripped out.
I hope you actually had a better time getting those things out of the packaging than I did, because remember when I told you that when I opened them up...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, they flew out of the they flew out of the plastic and hit into my hardwood floor, and I was like...
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no, I was quite lucky in that regard. You know, we haven't had any near accidents. But also, I've been doing a very soft-carpeted area.
I wanted to add this. I've been hearing some horror stories of people who have been pre-ordering some amiibos, and they never get them. Like, they haven't been getting them, or they just decide to only have them in store. Like, they just canceled the pre-order. I mean, I've heard this on the IGN Nintendo Voice Chat podcast.
I've been hearing this too. I think it's an issue with purely stock. Like, then the stores aren't necessarily getting as many as they had orders for. They just get as many as they were allotted. So I think they've just been having to cancel orders because they had their percentage of the shipment and there was no more to come, at least nothing officially is being announced. So I think that's reason for the cancellations.
Ghost Amiibos,
I guess. I mean, but the situation is the same over here. I mean, if you head over to Amazon or Game or so on, there are certain Amiibos which are just out of stock.
Like, the prices have been raised, like, compared to the others. It's like, you know.
Of course, yeah. For when, like, for example, Amazon, and you do get the other sellers which can step in. Yeah, the price skyrockets.
I still regret not picking up a Marth Amiibo my first day when I picked up Smash Brothers, because I thought they were sold out when I got there, but they had them in the back, I guess, because they knew that they were going to be in high demand as far as, like, you know, being sold out. So, and I had it in my hand.
That does surprise me that the Marth one is the one everyone wants. You would never have considered that years ago.
Well, I think it's more so in fact that there is a lot less of them being manufactured than the rest. I don't think it's necessary that people are picking them up in huge quantities, that there's like for every 10 Marios, there's a Marth. And so when one person buys it, it gets sold
Nintendo is only releasing like those type of amiibos that of their just popular characters, like the Yoshis, the Marios, the Luigis, the Peaches.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna say it right now. If my Mega Man amiibo does not come in, you are going. Let it be known here, Invendo listeners, there is going to be at least a 30-minute segment with me calling Walmart and just detailing my anger at them. This will be a special edition of it, and yes, it will. It will have the explicit tag on the
iTunes. I'm sure it will.
Yeah, I think the part of the problem with collecting the amiibo is I think this is just the very beginning of, you know, just the amiibo strategy. I think we're going to be seeing lots of different amiibos coming out this year.
It's what we like to call an amiibo-geddon.
Exactly. I think it's going to be almost an impossible task to keep on top of this. You might spend the extra money, search all the stores and so on, and, you know, get this collection of the initial couple of waves or all the waves of Smash Bros. But there will be more and more amiibo coming out, and it's going to be a very expensive task to keep on top of that, and it's probably not worth it. Just pick up some figures that you like if you want to do that.
I'd recommend, another Nintendo-centric site that I visit a lot, it's the Tanuki. About a couple weeks ago, they had a post on there of detailing ways to display your amiibos, and they had some like really nice little cases that you could probably find. I mean, they're not like specifically for amiibos, but these could be something that you could use for like if you just don't want them just hanging out on your desk.
Yeah, I've kind of got mine just chilling next to where my gamepad is docked, which is, for reference, is not near the console. It's kind of near my sofa. It's like a little side table there. And so all that stuff's kind of together.
I know I mentioned before, but if I ever got my hand like on a defective amiibo, like it came in, you don't realize how happy I will be, because just knowing I'm just like, oh, I'm going to make at least a few $100 off this.
I was going to say, you're sitting on some money there.
Yeah. Have you heard the latest defect
the
amiibo.
Three-arm Peach.
They just get weirder and weirder.
They do. That is a very weird manufacturing error to.
Let me pose this question to you, Lewis. If they bring out an alternative Mario,
okay,
amiibo, would you purchase it?
What's the alternative?
Well, like a different.
Is he wearing his like American outfit? Because that one's pretty jazzy.
Possibly. I mean, it's like they just brought out Mario, and he has a different pose.
He has a different pose. Don't know.
Do you think you'd be like, I might have to get that?
If it kind of spoke to me personally in some very specific way, maybe.
Hey, but, that would be a nice idea for Club Nintendo Awards or something like that.
Oh, that would be, yeah. To be fair, as much as I like the Mario games, I'm not a huge fan of the character, for example, as it were.
You don't like Italians?
I mean, he does the job, but he's not kind of like the first of the many series they have of characters I would kind of go to, like, oh, I'd like a model of this guy. It's not necessarily Mario. Fair enough. If it was this, I don't know, like perhaps, you know, in Smash Wii U, they have like the final Smash trophies and they look pretty spectacular. Mm-hmm. If they did like the Mario version of that, that would look pretty awesome. I'd consider getting that.
You would know how much detail that would go into, and like, yeah. Those would be fairly larger. I mean, I would buy the Mega Man Final Smash one in a heartbeat.
Yeah, that'd be like five figures in one, though.
Oh, yeah, man, that would be woo.
That'd be pretty big.
That would be pretty awesome. However, I feel we're slightly getting off track. As fun as it is to talk about amiibo, I think we best move on now to our main feature of tonight, which is our 2014 Game of the Year discussion. But just before we do, we have a couple of quick comments to go through. The first is from Callan McAven, or McAven, sorry. On the subject of whether 2015 will top 2014, I think it is set to certainly do so, even though I think Hyrule Warriors, Mario Kart 8, Smash and Bayonetta this year has really been 10 steps above 2013. I'm so excited for Splatoon and Xenoblade Chronicles X. Looks so vast and very immersive. That's not to mention Zelda U, which all I can say is wow. It is currently drawing many comparisons to The Wind Waker, probably my favourite game ever. My only disappointment could be that there are more 2D platformers on the way. to be expected, but the Wii U doesn't need any more of that between first parties, indies, and of course Rayman.
I like how he mentions Rayman, not like third parties. It just like, I'm just say Rayman.
Just Rayman.
Rayman just eclipses our third party support. Well, maybe in Sonic, but yeah.
I mean, it would be cool. I mean, we're kind of just really narrowing on that last bit, but it would be cool to have another Rayman, to be fair. I really like that last Rayman game.
Great things about Legends.
Yeah, despite the delay and all that other stuff which went around it, the game itself is really, really good. If you've not picked it up yet, I would definitely recommend it, because it's probably dirt cheap as well by now.
Yeah, fair enough. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, and also, it's got these cool music stages, as you're probably aware. They base it around an actual music track in real life. The one they were demoing around originally was the Black Betty tune. And those levels in particular are fantastic. And you just kind of jump and punch and so to the rhythm of the music. But lots of cool stuff in that game. But no, I'm going to have to completely agree with Callum here that this year is looking great between Splatoon, Xenoblade, Zelda.
I'll say we're getting two Zeldas this year.
Yeah,
supposedly.
Majora's Mask as well. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah.
This whole first half, well, maybe even first quarter of next year, we're already getting more first-party titles we got at the beginning of last year, because it seemed like up from May up to like the end of December of last year, that's where we kind of got the majority of titles that really kind of helped to move units for the Wii U. And as someone who's been playing around with, like, who has an owner of, like, an Xbox One and a PS4, is that several titles on there, yes, I've enjoyed, so much, though, but from what I've been hearing just from, like, reporters and journalists, it's like, they would go on saying, like, you know, Sony and Microsoft, I mean, aside sales-wise, they thought they didn't have a great first year as far as, like, when it comes to releases. Yeah. Obviously, that's going to change next year with those two, because as we saw at E3, a bunch of titles got pushed to 2015, and that was good for Nintendo's case because it helped them out, and a lot of journalists out there, games journalists out there, said that Nintendo probably had the best year out of all the three, despite how Wii U is still kind of slightly struggling, but it's, let's just say, it's rising from the dead, finally. And I'm still at the point just to say that when it's all said and done with this console generation, I don't think this console will necessarily win this console war at all, but it will be remembered more for, like, and obviously I'm getting ahead of myself, it will be remembered as almost like a spiritual successor to Dreamcast. I mean, it had quite a few small exclusives, but also its first party lineup was just phenomenal.
Yeah, I've got all that. The Dreamcast has always been looked down upon. You know, oh, it's a terrible machine. It was a fantastic machine.
It was, but you know, not to get off track.
Oh, of course not.
But the Dreamcast was more of a Sega's business decisions coming back to haunt them, and that's what led it down to its own downfall. But also, the PlayStation 2 is what ultimately, if you had to give two reasons, like several reasons, PlayStation 2 ranks up there as the reason why what killed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's very true. As good as this year, 2015, is looking, obviously we're going to be looking back with a lot of detail in a moment about all the great games in 2014, but just some of the highlights Callum mentioned about Mario Kart 8, beginning of the year, absolutely huge game, still playing it. I mean, played it with mates just yesterday, had a great time. So, you know, Smash just came out recently. Obviously, Bayonetta 2 as well. Some absolutely huge games. The Wii U's kind of really come into its own, and it's really cool to see this like really great library of just exclusive stuff, not just stuff which is also cool on the Wii U, but I mean this stuff you cannot get elsewhere. And some of these games, I would argue, like Mario Kart 8 and Smash, they're the best games in those series, and they are just on the Wii U. I think that's pretty cool. But we'll move on now to our second comments.
Can I mention one last thing, though? He had mentioned those titles there. We still have a bunch of titles that haven't even been announced yet. We still have E3 to come together.
Of course, yeah.
I'm slightly worried for E3. Nintendo had quite a good one last year. I'm concerned that this year's going to be like, oh, yeah, it's just the games that we already know.
But I think they can do it with style, because technically, now, hear me out here.
That's how you win E3, in the style.
Well, true. Well, kind of. They've done a kind of reveal for Zelda. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we know about this game. But the main things we don't know are the actual name of the game, anything to do with the story, or just like theme and so on. So there you can do a big blowout of what this is, what Zelda Wii U is. Like a big epic trailer. Just showing off what the game's actually about, because we don't actually know at this point. We just know like technical details.
True.
So I think there's a lot of cool stuff they can do with that side of thing, and they'll probably focus around the 3DS as well. We'll go into it later, but there's less we know about what's happening with the 3DS this year than we do.
Yeah, we know less there, but obviously I think is that Nintendo, they wanted to focus a little bit more on the Wii U at this point.
Yeah.
But we still have. I mean, there's some titles that have been announced that we haven't heard a peep out again. I mean, well, obviously we have Mario Maker coming out in the spring, and then the title I mentioned we haven't heard a peep out in almost 2 years is a Fire Emblem X Shin Megami Tensei.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, true. Well, the last time I think we heard anything was at E3. They asked the guy, "How's it coming along?" He's like, "Oh, it's fine." It's like, great,
it's still alive. We've not cancelled it. That's the update.
There you go. Good news. But yeah, that's such a weird game. It's one of those ideas. You're not quite sure how it could work.
Crossing my fingers for Retro Studios' new title coming out.
I think that will be an E3 announcement as well. I don't think that will be Nintendo. Yeah,
and this was a comment that when we were discussing before we were waiting for Holly, whatever, even though she's not here for unknown reasons. I was mentioning while we were discussing chatting through on Skype with Lewis and Colin is that Lewis decided to make the comment saying I mentioned about how we'll probably get a new Retro Studios game, and Lewis mentions oh, don't worry, they'll probably make another Donkey Kong Country game to complete the trilogy and then release it as one thing. And then I told Lewis, I was like, if Retro's new game is another Donkey Kong game, which I will admit, the past two were phenomenal platformers, if they dare release and announce their next game as another Donkey Kong title, I will drive down to their offices in Austin, Texas, and I will demand them to change their minds.
Well, it's probably not that they... it's what they want to do or don't want to do, but they work for Nintendo, so they're stuck into this rule of threes. If you've ever played any Nintendo boss, you know you have... To knock something out, you have to do it three times.
You're applying Nintendo's boss philosophy into game development. That doesn't make any sense.
It makes perfect sense. We'll renew this conversation when the next Donkey Kong Country is released, and you'll understand.
In probably 6 months from now, which, of course, another edition of Nintendo Radio, where I call the Retro Studio offices and get... slapped with a subpoena or something like that to stop calling them. But again, another title we didn't talk about again. I mean, I'm just saying this brief. We have Star Fox as well.
Of course. Yeah. And yeah, I think we'll... Yeah, that's true. And yeah, I think we may hear more about that one before E3. But if we don't, that's a lot they can talk about there. Because again, that all we know is like this technical, some nitty gritty stuff about the game. We don't really know what it's actually going to look like, what sort of story it's going to be, you know, the style, all the good stuff.
Two quick things on it, though. I mean, one, we already know that Nintendo said there wasn't going to be another developer hopping in to do the majority of the work. Yeah. So that's one. And two, I'm still going by my prediction. This is just going to be a complete reboot of the series.
Well, possibly, but I mean, I never played this, but it almost feels like they're always a reboot, the Star Fox series.
Yeah, because even Star Fox 64 had the beginning.
I guess a lot of Nintendo's series kind of feel like that at times. It's not, you know, story is not, you know, the big front and center reason to bring out the next game is they find a mechanic, which is exactly what they've been telling us is the deal with Star Fox for the Wii U. Because they've talked about how you're going to control it, but they've not mentioned anything about the story or anything on that side. So that kind of fits into that style of theirs, but it will be interesting. Yeah, I mean, I could completely see it as a reboot, you know, reintroduce the characters to a new generation. It's been quite a while.
Well, you say that, but Star Fox 64 3D, I mean, that's pretty good introduction to the game. That's where I started with the series.
True.
And then I went back and played Star Wing, as it was known over here in the UK. I played that afterwards, which didn't do my eyes any good, but the game was great.
But yeah, maybe they'll try and like serve both audiences there, where technically it's a follow, like a sequel to the story, but they're essentially just introducing the characters to a new audience just in case.
I hope they don't like try and do an origin story or like how Slippy joined the crew.
It's exclusively Slippy. What are you talking about?
Oh no.
there would not be enough alcohol in the world to drown out all the boys from that.
It's like the Slippy family, and they've all got their own chip each, and they all communicate to each other in a highly frequent manner.
Listening to the Slippy family, I'm not sure it would be worse. That or Chewbacca's family from the Star Wars Christmas special.
Good point.
That would just...
That's a very good comparison.
However, if this new Star Fox game does have some sort of multiplayer mode where you can pilot customized ships, I am definitely going with the Slippy family crew if it lets me.
I'll just play the game, all the
rage amongst the world.
Stay the heck away from me.
Okay, I do think now it is time to move on to our second comment to kickstart our 2014 Game of the Year feature. And this one is from Steve Peacock. I was wondering what your personal Game of the Year for this year was. Does not need to be Nintendo either. There was many good games this year, but the only one that stood out to me was Shovel Knight. I am 31 and grew up with an NES as my first game console. Shovel Knight felt like a lost classic from that system. The pixel art was amazing, and the colours vibrant. It was the soundtrack that really made the game. Play with no sound, and the game does not have the same charm. I bought both soundtracks off Jake Kuffman's Bandcamp page. If you haven't picked them up yet, they are Pay What You Want or What You Can. I would love to hear all your thoughts. Merry Christmas.
A late Merry Christmas to you, Dave.
Yes, and Happy New Year as well. But yeah, I think Shovel Knight will probably come up in our discussions. Obviously, this is going to kickstart our big two-part feature, what our game of the year is. And for this evening, we're going to go over and actually decide what categories we want to be fighting for next week. And with those in mind, we're going to come up with some potential, but not necessarily exclusive, candidates for those categories. And then we can basically fight for our game choices on next week's show. And so we've got some suggestions here on the notes here that were provided by Holly ever so nicely. We've got such things as story, soundtrack, visuals, use of Street Pass, best gamepad use, best online, new characters, biggest surprise, and so on and so forth, and quite a lot of categories, actually. So out of this list, what kind of springs to mind as something that really needs to be on here?
One that I would have to say is that... I'll just say two obvious ones. Soundtrack and visuals.
They seem like quite safe bets, in my opinion. I agree. I don't think anyone's going to be fighting against that.
No, not at all.
How about story? That's one which is on here.
That's
Nintendo's not usually strong for that, but maybe that's a good reason to include it. We celebrate the ones which actually take the effort.
We would have kind of a slim nominees list for that, though.
True.
Yeah, I mean, it boils down to about four games. So it's...
Well, that wouldn't be bad. I mean, you could still have a top three and then rank the order, as it were. So what would be our... If we were to do a story category, what would we could we have in there? So I think possibly Bayonetta?
Bayonetta's one. Bravely Default. I'm just throwing Watch Dogs in there because it's the only major third-party title with a decent with a story that's with a three-act structure that we can put into it.
Have any of us actually played Watch Dogs?
I played it on a friend's PlayStation 4. That
works
was it.
For me. Okay, Watch Dogs. Apparently the Wii U version is not actually that bad.
Yeah, I heard it wasn't as
I mean,
bad.
It's very late. And it doesn't late. Show anything yeah. really fantastic with the system, but apparently, performance-wise, everything else, it's Watch Dogs.
I mean, I could put Shovel Knight on there, just how simple it is, as far as story.
No, it's got a nice little story to it, Shovel Knight.
See, I would say Hard Warriors has an interesting story.
Yeah, go on. Stick it on there.
I mean, it's just an interesting take.
I mean, it's simplistic, obviously, and yes, course, Shovel Knight is simplistic, but it just seems like a very... I don't know, that story to me in Hyrule Warriors felt very phoned in.
Yeah, but I think we can add it into the discussion. I don't think it's going to get anywhere near the top, or the very top spot. No. But yeah, I think it's worth discussing.
It's worth considering, at least.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's a shame Smash Bros. Didn't have like a Subspace Emissary mode. Because I think if it did, that would make it eligible, but in its current state, it has no story, so... Mario Kart, two of the bigger games this year, I'm not going to be honest.
Sakurai mentioned why they didn't put a Subspace Emissary on there is because, well, that's what those character reveal trailers were for, just to show off, like, those FMV video, like, full motion videos out there, like, at first hand, because when Brawl came out, he just wanted people to experience the visuals on there in the game as opposed to just seeing on YouTube. So,
They put it on YouTube instead. That's the only difference. It's like, oh, we'll do it. And that's all they've done. I don't know. That approach does not make any sense to me at all. But I guess that's Sakurai for you.
Yeah.
I see on this list here, it's reminded me of the American release date of Professor Layton and... Oh, wait, Yeah, I guess that is right. Yeah, both Professor Layton and the Azran Legacy and... Layton versus Wright both came out this year in America.
Yeah, that's true.
And so those both would be eligible in the story category, I believe.
Oh, yes.
So they're quite story heavy, so I think that gives us a decent enough list to fight over story next week.
Mm-hmm. So is Bayonetta 1 or is it Bayonetta 2 that's going to be in the...
I think 2, personally.
I think you could argue both games are eligible.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's 2...
We'll just say Bayonetta 2, because obviously with this one, the first one's included, so it just... The packaging.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Cool, okay. So we've got visuals, soundtrack, and story. So we've got things like best use of street pass and gamepad use. I quite like the sound of these two.
One gamepad use, I know one tile that can be put on there is Captain Toad. But I'm just trying to think as far as something else on there, because...
You weren't a fan of the Mario Kart horn, or...?
Best use, just...
Best use, yes, there we go.
Actually, I was going to joke at first, but technically, Smash Bros. For the Amiibo support would be under consideration, I would say.
That we could, yeah.
You could, yeah, I guess. I mean, it does use the gamepad.
And it's better than the horn, so...
True.
It's better than the Yoshi horn. God, I mean, when I play, when I hit the Yoshi horn, I'm like, wow, this is weaker than my truck that I had. Jeez.
But it's actually kind of surprising looking back. Although we kind of celebrated the amount of good games which came out to the Wii U this year, not many of them actually take any advantage of like the gamepad, apart from like off TV play.
That's true. I mean,
that's the thing. It's a very slim category when we do onto that, because we're only at maybe two. You could probably put Watch Dogs on there, but that's more of a map system on there.
It's a map.
Exactly, but even that slim inclusion makes it look good. Really? So we can hardly blame Ubisoft at this point if Nintendo's not even doing it.
See, I mean, the best use of the gamepad I've ever seen is something like Wind Waker HD. I know it technically came out last year. It's just the fact that you don't need to pause the game to navigate menus. Mm. It is such a joy to do that.
That is cool. Actually, Smash is kind of a double-edged sword in this, because, I mean, it misses the obvious points. I mean, like, none of the actual menus use the touchscreen, despite how big the buttons are.
Yeah.
It'd be perfect. But, I mean, it reminds me, it also has the stage builder, and you can, like, draw on pictures. Mm. Which are pretty cool uses. But yeah, we are kind of lacking in just the amount of games here. I think we need at least another three. One. We need at least three. I mean, kind of three. I don't think we can have the category.
So yeah.
Well, I haven't opened up my packaging of Bayonetta 2 yet. Does it use the gamepad at least in some form?
There's that whole touch mode, which I've never played.
I've tried it, and it's basically, it's not, I don't think it's that fun.
Is it the same way what you saw with like Wonderful 101, where
it's less than that. Wonderful 101 kind of integrated it into the actual game, where this is like...
An AI controls Bayonetta, and you just tap and poke at enemies, and she'll do combos.
Yeah, it's almost like Super Guide mode.
Essentially, yeah. They'll play the game for you, you just poke enemies.
Yeah, you just... poke at what you want her to do, and then she does it.
You want something dead, just poke it. That's what you do.
How about we add, I mean, as far as a gamepad use, Hyrule Warriors, because it eliminates the second screen as far as when it comes to multiplayer.
Yeah, and I guess it also has the local co-op where one person can be on the gamepad and the other can be on the TV, which is quite cool.
Yeah,
I like it when the games do that.
Okay, we have three. There we go.
All right,
there
we go. We got. We may think of more, which is good. I think Holly may think of some as well. But we got the best gamepad use category is safe. I mean, I've not researched this one yet, but I do like the idea also of the best use of Street Pass.
I haven't researched as much on there. I mean, thing is, the one thing I haven't taken really huge advantage of is Street Pass, just because I don't take my 3DS everywhere with me. I unfortunately don't. Yes, a handheld system, and I play it at home. I don't take it with me.
We're saying that because Bravely Default, if we're going by the American dates, that's got some cool Street Pass. Even Shovel Knight's got Street Pass on there. Not that I've played the 3DS version.
Yeah.
The Miiverse interaction with Shovel Knight on the Wii U is actually a tad little clever, because you can actually activate the menu on there, and you can actually, if whatever level you're on... it will pop up the messages on Miiverse of what people are talking about that level.
That's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, no, and it helped out because I think there was like one item that I was trying to find in there, and they mentioned like, how do I get this? And the next comment's like, you know, go here, whatever. I'm like, oh, you know, I don't have to use my phone. So, I mean, I thought I was like, wow, more Wii U games should probably do this as far as when it comes to posting. I mean, I do like how Hyrule Warriors posts like, you know, your achievements on whatever automatically if you want to.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Which is, yeah, I mean, it's a nice idea. I mean, yeah. But when it comes to Street Pass, yeah, there's only one game which came out in the UK this year, but it's been out in America for a year and a half now, and that's Shin Megami Tensei 4. has a really cool Street Pass functionality, because it's how you, there's like exclusive demons you can unlock by Street Passing.
Oh, okay.
The main problem is the game is so niche, I have yet to Street Pass anybody.
Good point.
And it's ridiculous, but... So, it would be cool. It's got really good Street Pass functionality, which I can't use. Because I'm the only person, maybe in the country, who's actually bought the game.
This is a possibility.
That's a problem.
It is. But I'm looking down the list here. We've got a whole bunch of different 3DS games. So, I'm going to keep the Street Pass category safe.
Wait, I did mention something for gamepad usage. Does Pushmo World work?
Of course it does, yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's good use. And you can make your own levels on that as well, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Okay, and then if we just keep going down the list, we've got a category for best online.
Let's see, the two that come to mind, Mario Kart 8 and Smash.
That's true. I think we can. I mean, even Bayo2 has an online mode.
Has an online mode, which I haven't tried yet.
No, I mean, I assume there's no online component to Captain Toad, is there?
Not really.
Nah, but I guess, I mean, if it's just online, there's no reason why we can't count 3DS games as well. We got Mario Golf World Tour.
Yes, excellent.
Obviously, the 3DS version of Smash Bros., if there's going to be any difference between the two there. The Pokemon games, they've got huge online components nowadays. That could be a cool discussion.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to have.
Awesome. Okay. We're going to have our best online games as well. Okay, this is an interesting one. Best new character. What new characters do we have this year?
We have Layna from Hyrule Warriors.
That's right.
Shovel Knight.
Good point, yeah. I think he's a pretty cool character.
Senna from Pyro Wars as well.
Yeah, Volga. Any of the middens.
We also, obviously, let's not forget, we had Pink Gold Peach.
Yeah. That's not going to win the cat.
I don't think I'm going to.
I'm writing it on it. Pink Gold Peach.
Any characters from Tamagotchi Life at all?
I think they're just Miis, aren't they?
True.
So they can be whoever you want them to be. I think they'll be a bit of a cheat.
Rusty from Rusty's Real Deal Baseball.
Oh, of course, yeah. We have Rusty on it. Who will win, Rusty or Pink or Peach? The Battle of the Titans. We have to find out. I'm looking at the. It's an obvious one. Scram Kitty and his buddy on rails. Which is the cat? Which is on the box? Is it the is he? No, the buddy's the mouse, isn't he? So that must be Scram Kitty. Maybe Scram Kitty. I don't know.
We're starting to scrape the barrel here.
We could have Amelio. He's pretty cool. Obviously from the game of his own own name. He seems like a cool character. I've played that game. It's a pretty cool game.
Is Link being in Mario Kart 8 included just because he's in a new universe?
we've heard of Link before.
I'm trying to remember, what's the name of that kid in Bayonetta 2?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot his name.
He's not.
Wow, we've been playing this a while, and everyone's like, what's his name? Oh, shoot. some game enthusiast we are.
Yeah. But, I don't think he would make the best character.
I just remember when I saw like in the trailers with his amulet or whatever he has like on his hanging from his neck, whatever, It just looked like that same thing from Yugi Moto from Yu-Gi-Oh! And I was just like, oh,
exactly,
God.
Terrible.
Okay, I mean, yeah, I think we got enough for a best character.
An interesting discussion to have.
Yeah, that would be. So now, things get a bit more vague. We got bigger surprise. So what surprises did we have this year?
Star Fox is coming out before Zelda.
I guess we've got to define what we can include in this. But that,
are we including just games, or are we including moments?
I think it's got to be things which happened this year, opposed to like announcements for next year. Or that sort of, I don't know, though. Might be one we need to come back to, unless I'm missing something obvious. Maybe like the new 3DS, I guess that would count.
I mean, it did, yeah. Technically came out of Japan, so...
True. Yeah, it's kind of going against what I just said, but I mean, it is a hardware announcement. I think that counts. What other things would we have? Put on a question mark.
We found out what the quality of life was.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Duck Hunt being a character in Smash.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously, we could probably Duck include in that as well. How about the digital event as a whole, just as a surprise, being how well it's done?
Yeah. Nintendo digital event.
I wonder what they're calling the next one. Whether it just be the new digital event.
Yeah, well, they might. I mean, is there any chance they would go back to a, in quotes, regular press conference at this stage?
I don't know. At this point, like, I thought this was a lot better than they did the year before, just a straight up direct, just because they were able to actually flex a little bit more on quality as far as like content they had in there.
I think they could do that choice though, because before they were saying like, they never ruled it out, but it was a matter of if they had the right, you know, stuff to show. I think with like. Even though, again, we've technically seen it, but the reveal of a new Zelda, I think that, you know, ticks the boxes of getting a crowd out, as it were.
Yeah, that's that could be easily a point there, whatever, because, I mean, one argument against people saying why Nintendo should be in a press conference is because, you know, they have those crowds and everything, and they do this, but it's just like, we live in such a different age right now, I mean, but it's... These directs still get enough views out there for people to know about it, but I mean, it comes down to media coverage. So, with a big title like that coming out next year, and even Xenoblade Chronicles X, I think this might be that year where they just say like, I think this is the year we got to go back to a press conference.
Yeah, possibly. I think they might try and emulate the Twilight Princess reveal video.
They've been trying to emulate that for ages.
I'm not sure they have, but that ranks up there as like one of my favorite E3 moments up there. Yeah. I mean, from all three, the big three, one of my favorites, and just the excitement for me, whatever. When I thought, I was like, what is this? And no, I was in high school at the time when I found out about this, and I was using like crappy internet, whatever, at my school, and just streaming this right before class. And then when I just saw it, I was like. Is it? And I went ballistic. So
everyone did. Yeah, you could tell in the video, which is great. And I think to keep us on track as well, I think we could put the Zelda announcement in general as one of the contenders for biggest surprise this year. The fact that we saw it was this open world Zelda game, and how, you know, at least in my opinion, how great it looks.
I'm actually surprised that they showed off as much as they have this year. I never expected to see the gameplay footage this early.
Yeah, no, I think it's looking a lot further along than I initially would have expected that game.
True.
Especially coming out this year.
Yeah, because when that was the first announced saying it was going to be 2015, I just nodded my head thinking, like, yeah, I'll believe that when I see it.
Cool. Yeah, we've got
some contenders.
A decent number of contenders for a bigger surprise. So next, I think this is going to be a... one we can keep. Favorite virtual console release? I think there's been enough of them this year to argue over the best one.
I see. This one's going to be, well, my thing is to actually put this more we go away from, like, say, the ones that were released on the Wii and focus more on, like, you had Game Boy Advance titles coming out, so, and you had a few other NES and even Super Nintendo games that never saw the light of day on, you know, the Wii Virtual Console. So if I had to pick, here we go, Duck Hunt, Mega Man X3, I see X2's on here, but X1 and 2, I believe, were released on the Wii Virtual Console before, but X3 was not. So I'd say X3, Duck Hunt, and then whatever Game Boy Advance titles we can think of.
That's true, yeah. I would have to re-go over my list. I'll probably go over my personal collection as well, see what I've downloaded this year. But there's definitely going to be enough stuff in here to rank them in what we think were the best virtual console releases this year, or last year, I should say. So yeah, it looks like we've kept most of these so far. We've got some genre-specific ones, but I'm not sure we need to go into that level of detail.
Yeah, I think at this point, you... this is, I mean, as much as you want platformer, action, adventure, and sports, or shooter, there's, okay, shooter, I'm like, okay, that's out. I don't know, it just seems a little more, I'm all in favor of just cutting genres out. I'm really all in favor of just cutting genres out, just because of...
Yeah, it's that, and the actual discussion itself probably take too long to...
Well, that, I think there wouldn't be that many contenders for each category.
Yeah, I mean, sports. I mean, I can only think of Mario Golf at the moment.
It was that you could maybe argue Mario Kart fills that slot.
Is that a sport?
Unless there's a race, unless there's a racing genre in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, exactly. That's what I would have put it under.
Exactly, yeah. So let's move on. The next thing we've got is Indie Game of the Year. Now, we actually had quite a lot of indie games come out on both 3DS and Wii U. So I think I'm happy to see that game's actually on the list. Holly has so kindly put it on there. It's not bold, so that maybe she forgot to bold that one. I'm not sure what that's all about. But there was indie presence amongst both the Nintendo consoles, which is it's just good to see, isn't it?
Indeed.
So yeah, unfortunately, I don't think my game will make it, but I think there are a lot of great contenders, which we can discuss. Again, Shovel Knight as well. But yeah, I mean, there's some other good ones as well. I mentioned we've got Emilio. I kind of briefly mentioned Scram Kitty and his buddy on Rails. So I had fun with that earlier in the year. There's some other games here I've not played, but I've heard good things.
Shovel Knight kind of qualifies for that.
Oh no, it definitely qualifies. Shovel Knight, yeah. That's indie developed.
But thing was, like, Guacamelee, though. Didn't that come out last year, though? Or is this...
it came out on the Wii U this year, I believe.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it came out in 2013 other consoles, but that's up there as well. Like, 1001 Spikes we can actually put as well. I mean, that...
Actually, I'm not sure if Art of Balance technically counts as an indie game. But if it does, that's a very good game. I'll argue for its corner.
Yeah, I see, this is a bit of a blind spot for me, because it's Revelation time. I haven't downloaded a single indie game on the Wii U yet.
I can't forgive you, because obviously Block Drop Cross Twisted Fusion is not out in Europe yet. But you have no excuse soon.
Of course not. No, absolutely.
Yeah, this show is not biased whatsoever. So then, after the Indie Game of the Year, we also have a slightly less genre-specific 3DS and Wii U Game of the Year, which makes perfect sense, having one for each console. I don't think at this point we need to put down what the contenders are going to be.
Although I will say for like 3DS or Wii U, when it comes down to it, I mean, all people are listening, like, you know, we're discussing nominees right now, but it's obvious the point we have to nominate, like, five seems like the best way to go. Not minimum, but I feel like maximum to me. I feel like that's where you should cut down there. And overall game of the year, you just take two from one or three from one and whatever. It just, I mean, Keratin, well...
So here's a question I got, actually. If we put a separate category for indie game of the year, are indie games also allowed in the just the regular game of the year section?
They class as games, so...
But I argue that they should.
No, I there's one game out of the indie category that I believe is up for, well, overall game of the year.
Exactly, yeah, I've got no problems with that. I was just making sure you guys didn't as well.
So, I find it's perfectly acceptable.
So technically, you could have an indie game win both indie game of the year and the ultimate game of the year.
Mm.
Hypothetically.
I can see where this is going.
That wasn't where it was going, actually. But...
Yeah, this is like, you know, best foreign film winning best picture of the year. I mean, it's possible. it's possible, but it probably won't happen.
Nah, fair enough. Okay, then we also got the overall game of the year. So I assume that's like a regardless of system.
I would guess
so. Do we just want to discuss? I mean, I know Holly's not here, but do we want to give our rough cut as far as the five overall nominees for game of the year?
Yeah,
I mean,
we can
all go together and just say what are five that I believe.
Well, we can start at the beginning of the year. I think it's pretty safe to say Mario Kart 8 will be up in the discussion.
That's one. We could say Bravely Default's up there.
Yeah, no, I
could. We could, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely in the discussion.
And in terms of Smash Brothers, I'm going to go with the more superior version, which is on the Wii U.
It is. That's a very good answer, yes.
Yeah.
I was worried for a minute. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It was a slight delay, which made me thought there was going to be a twist.
Both. No. Well, Bayonetta 2 and Shovel Knight.
Yeah, that's...
I want Shovel Knight, I believe, deserves at least a point on there to actually be nominated.
Yeah, I think so too. However, have we mentioned Donkey Kong Country? Tropical Freeze? Because I think that should be in the discussion as well.
I mean, I believe that's up for Wii U Game of the Year, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
In terms of our starting list, I don't think we need to narrow it down too much. I think any game is up for debate at the time.
That's right.
But obviously there will be a finite number of slots for these to be ranked in.
Infendo Radio is on now.
But of course, I mean, I've not played it yet, but would you not say Captain Toad possibly gets...
It's...
What are you talking about, or...
Not overall, but I don't know. Maybe we... The thing is, it's content that I feel like it just dims it down from being overall. That's it. I mean, it's as much as fun I had with it, it just... I didn't think it was that overall game worthy. I mean, yes, it's a game that... I mean, out of Nintendo's games, I feel like this year, aside from Bayonetta 2, you had quite a lot of multiplayer, like, you know, just... You didn't have a lot of games that were just solely single-player titles, whatever, on Wii U. And I felt like, well, just solely. No multiplayer at all. But Captain Toad itself just kind of made it seem like, yes, just single-player only games can be fun. Still.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think we're probably missing out on some 3DS games, which were going to be potentially in our top game of the year contenders. I'm not entirely sure what everyone's played.
Well, there's Kamidachi Life. I always forgot. So.
That's true. And I've not been playing it. I know... Lucy's been playing a lot of Fantasy Life recently. I know Holly had been playing it somewhat. I've been hearing some good things about that game recently. I'm not sure if that's going to be involved in the conversation. I haven't played it, so it won't be from me directly. But I think that might be one to look out for. That seems like that game has an addictive streak to it. So, depending, I guess, Holly's the only one who's played it amongst us.
Yeah, that's the problem.
No, that's all right. I mean, well, we'll have to... see what her verdict is on it, how much she's going to be voting for it on her side. But yeah, I think there's going to be some other ones we could watch out for as well. Unfortunately, I think I might have thought it was earlier in the year, but I don't think Leighton versus Wright. I'm not going to be fighting for that one too much in this category. It's a good game, but there are so many other great games this year.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. Professor Layton's one of those titles that I would never class it as Game of the Year. Because they're great games. I don't think they're Game of the Year material.
Yeah, I would have potentially argued back in the day for some of the specific Phoenix games. Like the third Phoenix game.
Yeah.
I can't remember what else came out that year when that game did come out. But I have so many great, great memories of that game, and the story is absolutely fantastic, and it concludes a lot of the stuff from the games which came before it as well, and it wraps them all up nicely with a little bow. That game was so strong. This versus one was good, but nowhere near as strong as that. So,
yeah.
But now we've got a lot of great games which are going to be on discussion. I mean, I guess we could do like a mini discussion about the top game now, without going into too much detail. So we're thinking we're talking about Bayonetta 2, Mario Kart 8, Smash Wii U, Shovel Knight, and Hyrule Warriors, did we say? Was that in there?
See, Hyrule Warriors, I love Hyrule Warriors. I can't see. I mean, I would if it was me, I would have it in my list.
Oh, but
I understand it's not a game for everyone. Mm. You know, I understand that perfectly because all the years of Dice Wars games have been sort of shunned to the side.
Also on the 3DS side, we got Bravely Default. I don't think any of us actually played a Mega Ruby or Alpha Sapphire, did we?
I did not pick it up. I was planning on it, but after basically banking myself on Amiibos and Smash Brothers, it had to wait.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. No, I brought it for my brother. He's finished it. He said it was very good. So, I mean, that's the only verdict I've got so far.
That's fair enough. I'm just thinking what I should play on 3DS. I mean, I would look through my activity log, but I still don't have my 3DS yet. Apparently, I'll get it next week. Woohoo!
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Your 3DS was involved in... Was possibly lost in a fire. Yeah,
not quite, but yeah. The ramifications affected me getting mine back. But apparently it's on its way. I should have it next week, which would be very nice to have a reunion between me and my 3DS. It's been quite a while.
Yeah, it has. I mean, that happened...
As documented on this show.
Yeah, that was... Late November when you broke it?
I think it was during
Smash. It was before the Wii U Smash came out.
Yeah, I don't think it was even late November. I think it might have been early, if not mid. But yeah, it's looking like the Wii U definitely had the stronger year.
Oh yeah, indeed. I mean, there's no real comparison to be made, I think.
I'll be honest, I'm not 100% sure myself what game I want for my best yet.
No,
not quite. I mean, just the amount of time I put in Mario Kart 8 throughout the year, that's a potential.
I've got one really strong candidate, because I had so much fun.
Probably Bayo 2?
That is Bayo 2, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's a strong contender for me as well, but so is going to be Smash. But it kind of loses some points just because it is Smash, it's made by that template which made the other game so good. It doesn't really veer off from that. It's just kind of more refined and more polished.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I wanted out of that game. So, I'm having a lot of fun with it currently.
There's also the issue with Smash is, I mean, technically there's still things coming for it.
True.
And the game isn't fully here yet, you know.
We still have Mewtwo coming and the Miiverse stage.
Indeed.
And tournaments.
And the ability to share stages and some other bits and pieces as well.
Yeah.
Some oddities to come.
I still think Sakurai's lying that there's not any character DLC. I still think he's lying.
You're clinging on to hope, aren't you?
No, it's not really. I'm already accepted Ridley's gone. I'm just saying I'm accepting the fact that I think there may be two or three characters like Chorus Men or Ice Climbers.
Ice Climbers, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even though it wouldn't work on the 3DS, but, you know, it would work on the Wii U.
Yeah, it's probably a discussion for another day, but yeah. Just because I was overhearing some people talk about the future of Smash recently, I do think the next game will be made again by Namco. Sakurai will probably be evolved... Knowing there is much of a capacity was this time.
Yeah, I'd say he'd take more like an advisory.
Yeah, I think he'll be the advisor. I think they've managed to make a game which runs on two systems. I think they finally have put an engine together that they'll be able to use next time, which will be a first for them. So in theory, the next game shouldn't be as big of a or as huge of a task as the Smash games having previously. It can just be adding some characters, adding stages, and then adding new modes. Apart from just starting from scratch and recreating absolutely everything to feel and look the same as the previous
games. One category I did want to add, and we can definitely get behind this, but
ooh, okay,
most anticipated for 2015.
Okay, that's an interesting one for the
because I think we
quite like it.
We don't need a nominees list next week. We can just go through, say what it is, and we'll just mention it, and we'll be able to discuss it.
I'm gonna argue for Splatoon so hard.
You will argue for Splatoon so hard. I'm going to argue for Codename Steam.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Interesting choice.
But yeah, so many good games coming out this year now. I can't believe it's 2015 already. We're getting a Zelda this year. We're getting Xenoblade Chronicles this year. We're getting Splatoon this year. We're getting so many good games. I think that unless we can think of any more categories, this is a good time to wrap this one up.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
I think we're good. I mean, I have some more Hyrule Warriors catching up to do.
That's true. I think we got a big episode ahead of us for next week. Deciding who's going to win this. And that last one is obviously going to be the one which is going to take the longest. Best game overall. Should be fun though. Okay, that wraps up that feature. That definitely wraps up the end of this particular show though. As always, you can send your comments and questions to us at contact@infendo.com. Alternatively, if you're listening through the browser, you can scroll down and add your comments below. And what I'll do before we end the show, we'll go round and we'll leave our Twitter and our Miiverse handles so you can contact us with any personal questions or just add us as a friend and you can play us on Smash Bros. Or Mario Kart 8. Colin, would you like to start?
I would. I shall start with Twitter. And my Twitter handle is Hylian Bard. It's as you would think it's spelled. It's all one word. What's wrong with that? My Wii U, Nintendo Network ID, my Wii U, is Cole1990. It's COL1990.
Okay, and Harrison?
I will give you my Nintendo Network ID is Hybrid Meta, and that's all one word, spelled HYBRIDMETA. And my Twitter handle is all one word. It's my first initial and my last name together. It's H Milfeld, HMILFELD. And two things. One, sorry if I don't add you right away. I'm just been busy a lot, just real world stuff that I've been trying to get on here. Obviously, that's what keeps me away from gaming a lot. And two, for everybody who's wondering why I haven't been writing a lot on the Infendo website, and even though we've been posting a lot of just podcast only posts, I'm currently still without a computer right now, and I don't know when I'm going to get a new one. So this is my only way of contacting through everybody is through my phone. So
yeah, time commitments for me.
Unfortunately, the browser on the gamepad, although good, not quite sufficient enough to the editing duties on WordPress.
If only.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe next time. Or maybe on the new 3DS. That would be a great experience. However, I shall leave you with my Miiverse handle and Twitter, which is the same. And it is Luvsion, which is spelled LEUVSION. Thank you very much for hanging on to the very end of the show. This has been Infendo Radio.
See you, everybody.
Goodbye.
Catch you next time.
take
that
it.
That went well. I hope my recording stayed on there. That's
it is.
All.
I have been keeping an eye on it. 1 hour and 16 minutes of group audio we have. And it's still
success.